KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. San Francisco prosecutors are deciding whether to file charges against a cyclist who recently struck a pedestrian in a fatal collision. While bike accidents leading to pedestrian fatalities are rare, this is the second such incident in the past year. With more and more cyclists taking to Bay Area streets, we take up the issue of bicycle safety. That's next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum. Well, contrary to what you heard, we're not going to be talking about extended online universities this first hour. We will be doing that in the second hour of the program. In this first hour, we're going to be talking about concern over pedestrian safety. In less than a year, San Francisco has seen two fatalities involving bicyclists colliding with pedestrians, the most recent involving a bicyclist at the intersection of Market and Castro, who, like the bicyclist in the other fatality, which occurred earlier this year, could face criminal charges. With bicycling becoming more and more widespread, are new standards and regulations needed for riders? And what about pedestrian safety overall? On Saturday, in Concord, a 17-year-old boy lost control of the car he was driving and hit cyclists who were riding on the sidewalk, killing a father and his 9-year-old daughter. The driver was booked on two felony counts of vehicular manslaughter. In this hour, we want to focus on bicycle and pedestrian safety. Joining us in studio is Elizabeth Stamp. She's executive director of Walk San Francisco, a pedestrian advocacy organization. Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you.
And Bert Hill is also here with us in studio. He chairs the Bicycle Advisory Committee. They consider bicycle transportation projects and policies and make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors and other San Francisco City and County agencies. Welcome, Bert Hill.
Good morning.
Good morning. Leah Sham also joins us in studio this morning, Executive Director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll also say good morning to Captain Al Casiato, who is Captain of San Francisco Police Department, Traffic and Municipal Transit Authority Administration. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you all here. And let me begin, actually, by bringing Herbert Weiner into this discussion, a community activist who has expressed for quite some time now concern about cyclists. And Herbert Weiner, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Pleased to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. I just wanted to get some comments from you initially about this tragedy that occurred. Chris Bucheri, by name, a cyclist who appears to have been, at this point, everything, of course, is innocent until proven guilty, but seemed to have something he posted online in Mission Cyclist website, more concerned about his helmet than he did about the pedestrian that he hit and ultimately that was killed. Reckless disregard, and you think this is something that's pervasive?
Well, I think the problem is coming to its logical head. You know, there are about 10,000 bicyclists in the coalition. About one-tenth of them are just wild and rampant. They're contemptuous of people's rights in the intersection. And I will preface this by saying, to its credit, the Bicycle Coalition is now telling people to obey the traffic signals. This is a very positive step. But the thing that's terrible about it is that some of these cyclists just go through the lights with impunity, and they are not being cited. And if this were an automobile, they would be cited, and they would probably be prosecuted. This is not happening with the cyclists. One of the reasons for this is that they have a very strong political base. They're a source of political support for the Municipal Transit Authority, and also members of the Board of Supervisors. So they have a lot of political clout. Now, they claim that they are contributing to the non-pollution of the environment, but they are polluting the intersection. And the one thing we have to realize, no pedestrian has ever run over a cyclist. but the reverse has happened, where the cyclist has run over the pedestrian. And we have to remember that both people who were fatally run over by bicyclists were senior citizens. This is just really terrible. And one thing that the cyclists have to be aware of is people are going to start getting angry. They're going to start pulling people off their bikes, and they're going to start beating them up because nothing is being done to control this. We don't want to see this happen. I'm a senior citizen. I'm incapable of beating anyone up. But the thing is that it's reaching a peak right now where there is public outrage. So something has to be done. Every cyclist is entitled to their rights, but they also have responsibilities to the public.
Herbert Weiner with us by phone. He testified before the SFMTA board regarding bike safety. And stay with us for a while here, if you would, Herbert Weiner. I want to get some comments from some of the guests who are here with us in studio. And Elizabeth Stamp, let me go to you first. Elizabeth Stamp, again, is Executive Director of Walk San Francisco, a pedestrian advocacy organization. In light of what occurred with the cyclists and in light of what occurred in Concord, there is great concern about pedestrian safety. And some were saying there's more concern about motorists because two or three people were hit by cars every day. And yet these stories about bicycles are very much in the news.
Right. I have to say, in a way, this is kind of a man bites dog story. This was a real tragedy, what occurred last week. I don't think anybody disagrees. A lot of people are upset, and it's not okay for people to be hit in the crosswalk and killed in San Francisco. But the fact remains that three people a day, as you said, are hit by cars in San Francisco. Three people a day, over 800 a year, and that's an underestimate according to hospital data and according to the Department of Public Health.
So what comes
to
your mind?
And the vast majority of the vehicles doing that are cars.
Yeah, and so what comes to your mind in light of all this about making pedestrian safety more enhanced? I mean, how do we make it safer? How do we make it more pleasant for walkers? I mean, because walkers are facing bikes as well as cars.
Right, absolutely. Walk SF works to make it more safe and more fun to walk. And San Francisco is a great city to walk in. So we have a lot of people walking. And when this many people are getting hit by cars and occasionally by bicycles, that's a problem. All of these crashes are preventable. And one thing that Walk SF has been doing has been working with the police and others as part of a mayor's task force on pedestrian safety to implement better enforcement that's more targeted to the most dangerous behaviors in the most dangerous locations. The Department of Public Health has actually looked at the city and found that on just 5% of the streets in the city, that's where over half of all the serious and fatal injury collisions occur.
That's in the Tenderloin,
South
Soma
of Market,
and Financial District.
Yeah. Yeah, and pretty much it's intuitive. It's the wide, fast streets that act like freeways where folks feel like they can drive really fast and don't have to watch out for each other. And so what that tells us if we can target our enforcement and are fixing the streets in those areas, we can make a big difference pretty fast and keep a lot more people safe.
The problem is speed largely, Captain Casciato?
Casciato,
excuse me.
Right. Yes, there definitely is speed. Speed is a primary collision factor in almost all these accidents. What we see is if you followed the news over the weekend, there was couple accidents on the Embarcadero, both speed related. The weekend before, there was another fatality on the Embarcadero, the vehicle traveling at a high rate of speed. It flipped over, single vehicle accident. The driver was killed. There's a number of initiatives. Elizabeth talked about our committee that's been working on a variety of initiatives. One of the initiatives is we'll be lowering the speed limits shortly in the South of Market. They will be all brought down to 25 miles an hour. We're in the process at MTA of purchasing LIDAR guns, which these are radar detectors for the officers that are on the motorcycle patrol so that they can enforce the speed limits. We had six of these LIDAR guns last month on a test basis. We utilized them throughout San Francisco. We had 400 speeding citations issued. We record speeds of up to 81 miles and 82 miles per hour in the Broadway Tunnel and the Stockton Street Tunnel. So these are definitely speed and So, yes, speed is, I would attribute speed as the primary collision factor.
Also,
and speed,
visibility,
and,
though.
And also major, visibility. But yeah. Speed, you get up there and you don't have that visibility or the inability to stop. And this is, I attribute to the bicycle collision or accident that occurred at Castro Market, the one that occurred at the Embarcadero on Mission. It was definitely speed related. And we're trying to address that. And I think if you look at the initiatives that are coming out of the MTA, along with the partnership with the various stakeholders, we're rolling out processes where we're going to be addressing the bicyclists and pedestrians out on the street to, one, have better attention, but follow the rules of the road, and addressing speed. And the officers are going to be stopping and handing out educational material, plus issuing citations.
There's a lot less money to do these kinds of things. So you used to have decoy problems. You don't have, decoy programs. Excuse me. You don't have those anymore. I understand.
Correct. We're trying to work within our means. What we have is everybody's doing more with less. But I think we're being efficient. I think we're making progress, especially because we're able to work with the stakeholder groups all together, and we're all going in the same direction.
And what about pedestrians assuming cars will yield when so many of them don't yield? Often don't, and often don't get cited for not yielding.
You mean the pedestrian or the—
No, I'm talking about the cars.
Vehicles?
Yeah. Is what one reads, at least, that there are too many, from the pedestrian's point of view, too much of that going on without issuing citations.
No, we are issuing a lot of citations for failure to yield. But again, that's a difficult one to enforce because it's a difficult one to see unless you're right on top of it. And it is one of our primary collision factors also, is the failure to yield in an intersection.
Well, Leah Shaham, Executive Director of San Francisco Bicycle Coalition, you heard what Herbert Weiner had to say, and one hears this kind of criticism that maybe bicyclists get off too easy, that politically there's a sense of tolerating from bicyclists more than should be tolerated.
You know, first, I want to say, in connection with the tragic incident of March 29th in Market and Castro, that everything I'm hearing in the bicycle community is just real sadness and I think, shock over what happened or what we're reading of the online accounts of what happened. And it's important to remember that these types of crashes involving a bike and a pedestrian are very rare, incredibly rare. Of course, though, if there were problems and someone behaved recklessly, they should be held accountable. I will be the first to say that on behalf of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Fortunately, though, as you started the show with, these are a very rare occurrence. And I'm really proud that the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition is continuing its ongoing work. Despite what Mr. Weiner said, there's nothing new here. For the past 40 years, the Bicycle Coalition has been educating people biking and people driving. We're out on the road giving out tens of thousands of copies of the Biking Rules of the Road. Number one rule, pedestrians always have the right of the way. Number two, offering free bike safety education classes to adults with record numbers signing up to learn the rules of the road. We're also reaching out to frequent drivers, whether that be taxi drivers, muni drivers, on how to share the road safely with people walking and biking. And finally, partnering with agencies like the police department and partners like Walk San Francisco to be out there educating, in this case, enforcing, and hopefully solving the actual on-the-ground problems at the dangerous intersections. A lot of these are problem areas, intersections that are very dangerous whether you're driving, biking, or walking, and they need to be fixed.
Well, I certainly commend all the work that the Bicycle Coalition has been doing, but what about this criticism that police are maybe, too indulgent where bicyclists are concerned? Some of this is, as I said, attributed to politics, that critical mass is leading to more accidents, that there's been a tolerance for critical mass and for bicyclists that maybe in some ways makes them exempt from obeying all the traffic regulations?
I'm not seeing any connection with critical mass here. And just to state for the record, the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition does not organize or condone critical mass, totally separate happening. I think what we're talking about is—
we're talking about more bicyclists, I guess, really,
yeah,
is what we're talking about.
And
we need more regulations as a result of having more bicyclists. Or are the police too soft on bicyclists because of this attitude of they're good for the environment or whatever it may be?
Yeah, you're right that we're seeing a big increase, 71% more people biking in the last 5 years, according to the city counts. And I'll say, as someone who hears a lot from people biking, there's no shortage of people getting ticketed when they are behaving wrongly on the road. We know there's been a real step up in the last, I'd say, couple of years, especially on busy bike routes like Market Street, where people biking are being cited when they're breaking the law. I think what we're really interested in the police department doing, and I think understanding their limited resources, really focusing on dangerous behaviors. And whether that's biking or driving, dangerous behaviors at dangerous locations. The police can't be everywhere. We can't expect them to be everywhere. But we know there are certain areas of the city where a disproportionate number of collisions and injuries happen. We hope they'll focus their attention there.
You also want to get people just simply more courteous. I mean, whether it's a motorist opening a car door with a bicycle going by or whether it's a bicyclist giving the right of way to pedestrians, I mean, somehow that consciousness has to be raised.
It's a great point. I think what we all want to do is build a culture of respect on our streets. And that's a difficult thing to do when you think of all the different pieces. Enforcement is a piece. Education is a piece. Really realizing, hey, that person walking, that person biking, that could be my neighbor. That could be my daughter's teacher. That could be my dentist. Really be thinking about the people on the roads as people. They're not just someone moving around in a giant vehicle or on a bicycle. Really giving each other space, giving each other respect, and thinking how you want to be treated on the street. I think that's important.
Leah Shaham, again, is Executive Director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Bert Hill chairs the Bicycle Advisory Committee. They consider bicycle transportation projects and policies and make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. Do we need new standards to regulate riders as bicycling increases, Bert Hill?
Well, I don't know that we need new standards. Captain Casciato mentioned a while ago, we are working on a new program targeted for bicyclists. It's a citation diversion program that will, its primary purpose is to generally change behaviors, but it doesn't depend only on the police enforcement. It's really built around building a comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, on the road where bicyclists understand the rules that will be enforced, and those that aren't quite as important. And the ones in an understanding that so that the public will participate together in actually changing the tone. For years in San Francisco, bicycling was dominated generally by people in their 20s, who rode both recreationally and otherwise. We're now moving into the 880 sphere, where people from 8 years old to 80 years old are continuing to use their roads. I also teach the bike safety program for the city of San Francisco, and I'm seeing my classes change from being 75-80% young women till today. We have people up to 70 years old attending the class, and they bring their children. So we're seeing a change in the whole profile of the population coming in.
This is overall a good thing, more seniors on bikes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Seniors really need exercise from bicyclists because their frames and their bodies weaken naturally with time, their skeletal frames, and having and being able to bicycle is a chance of getting really good passive exercise. One misconception is that bicycling isn't terribly dangerous, and I know the statistic in terms of fatalities. Bicycle vehicle fatalities are somewhere between 1 and 2 per year over the last 20 years. It's a very low number, especially considering how few have taken bike education. And so it's really just a matter of looking in the direction of getting more people to take education. There's a lot of stuff that's non-intuitive.
And a lot of bike safety classes available. And we should mention I should mention January there was a study by the Alliance of Biking and Walking, and San Francisco is third highest biking and walking level among major United States cities, but 8th in bike and pedestrian fatalities. Let me give out the phone number and invite those of you listening to join us. In fact, you're cordially invited to join us now at our toll-free number if you'd like to participate in this conversation or have something to contribute to it. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. Again, we welcome your phone calls, and you can join us now at our toll-free number, which is 866-733-6786, or email us. Email address is forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you might have on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or go to our Facebook page. And again, we're talking about really pedestrian safety in the wake of a tragedy that occurred at the intersection of Castro and Market a couple of days ago, and what happened over in Concord with a father and a daughter killed by a motorist with an out-of-control Cadillac Escalade. I have a whole panel here with us in studio, and Herbert Weiner's with us by phone, a community activist who testified before the San Francisco MTA board regarding bike safety. Let me bring you back here, Herbert Weiner, for a moment and just get your reaction to particularly what you heard from Leah Shaham, that the Bicycle Coalition is doing a great deal, or what you heard from Bert Hill about the sense that more people are taking bike safety courses. Does this allay some of your concerns?
Well, it does, but I want to point out that there is a marked change from the time I testified before MTA where Leah Shaham was sitting on the board. And what happened was I pointed out that, you know, bicyclists were going through the intersection with impunity. And the response was that basically the MTA board could do nothing. And I pointed it out to them, when one member would be struck by a bicyclist, then we would see change. And now what has happened is that now it has really reached a crisis point, and now something has to be done. And I think it's very important that bicyclists be brought to heel, those who, you know, crash a light, and they do it regularly. I'm sure right now, as we're talking on the phone, on Market and Sansom Street, someone is going through the red light. And the thing is, something has to be done to control this. Bicyclists really are some of the most unpopular people in San Francisco because they really irritate so many people. And this shouldn't be the case. I mean, if you really want to make the case for bicyclists being an alternative means of public transportation, then they have to have good relations with the public. And frankly, the public has rolled out the carpet for bicyclists.
I'm sorry, Mr. Weiner, but I think if you took a poll of most bicyclists, you'd find that motorists were far more annoying to them. I mean, this gets us into the kind of, I hate to use the word wars or battles. I don't know. You know, certainly a great deal of adversity is out there between motorists, pedestrians, and vehicle drivers of all kinds. I'm not only talking about cars, but trucks as well. Let me bring our callers into this and find out where you are on this. Michael, we'll begin with you from Stanford. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to suggest that a lot of the younger cyclists who are on the city streets perhaps learn some of the bad habits that we see on college campuses, and that, you know, at Stanford, one thing that we've done is to really work on improving the physical infrastructure so that the cyclists kind of know where they should be. It's still not a good picture. I think cyclists at Stanford routinely violate traffic laws, and it can be pretty dangerous for pedestrians and for drivers, quite frankly. But that, you know, if we could improve education and enforcement when people are first getting on their bikes to get around and to commute, which I think a lot of people do as college students, that we might improve the picture later on the city streets.
All right. I thank you for that. Bert Hill, good suggestion on the face of it.
I think so. Anything that we can do, certainly in terms of well-designed facilities, can make a difference. And certainly changing the number of people who are riding that will calm down some of the people who are the outliers a little bit using peers is a really important thing. If everyone's waiting at the stop sign, it makes it harder to run through a stop sign or a red light.
Well, I think what was so disturbing to the public, though, with this was the negligence and the obtuseness of this guy who presumably posted these things. I don't know if you want to comment on this, Leah Shaham, but, you know, there's real outrage. And I think, unfortunately, it looks bad for the biking community and people's minds who have the sort of attitudes, Mr. Weiner, this is just, you know, the tip of an iceberg in their minds, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I hope people will not take Mr. Weiner's words and irritation to heart too much. I think this is a case where all of us, whether someone like myself who bikes every day or someone who drives or takes a bus or walks, couldn't be anything but really troubled and outraged by that account, that online account of the suspect here. And who knows? You know, the case is under investigation. Most importantly, I think we all want to be treated. We want to treat others as we want to be treated on the road. And I just want to speak to the caller Michael's comments there. You know, the city of San Francisco has built 20 miles of new bikeways in the last year and a half. And I think they should be commended for that. Time and time again, studies show when you build it, they come. When you build dedicated bike space, more people ride bicycles there. And that street gets safer. It's proven.
Well, we're going to continue this discussion, and we'll hear from you, our listeners, more. San Francisco prosecutors are deciding whether to file charges against a city bicyclist who recently struck a pedestrian in a fatal collision and wild bike accidents. Leading pedestrian fatalities are rare. This is the second incident in the past year, with more and more bicycle riders taking to Bay Area streets. We're talking about the issue of bicycle safety and also pedestrian safety in wake of the tragedy that occurred of a father and daughter being killed in Concord. When we return, more of your calls and more of your emails and online comments and Facebook comments. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. In the wake of two tragedies, we are talking about pedestrian safety. One occurred with a bicyclist hitting a pedestrian, and that pedestrian from San Bruno died. We're also talking about pedestrian safety in the wake of a tragedy on Saturday that occurred over in Concord with a young motorist, age 17, going out of control, killing a father and daughter. And That was a, they were cyclists. They were riding their bicycles on the sidewalk, we should mention. With us in studio is Elizabeth Stamp, Executive Director of Walk San Francisco, a pedestrian advocacy organization, and Bert Hill, Chair of the Bicycle Advisory Committee, and Leah Shaham, Executive Director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition, and Al Casiato, who is Captain of the San Francisco Police Department's Traffic and Municipal Transit Authority Administration. We also spoke with Herbert Weiner, a San Franciscan who has gone before the SFMTA board to discuss his concerns about transportation issues, particularly with bicycle riders. And as I said, we're going to go to more of your calls here. Let me go to Elizabeth Stamp, though, first, because talking about ways of making the streets safer, converting perhaps two-way streets or two-way streets and also such things as, well, the Adopt a Corner program. Can you kind of outline some of these for us?
Sure, yeah. One great way to make the streets safer is taking the streets like in South Market and throughout the Tenderloin that are basically wide, fast, one-way streets now and turning them into two-way streets. It really calms traffic and it creates more of a neighborhood. We've heard from a lot of community members, for example, along Folsom Street, that that's something that they would really like to see, to kind of turn an area that right now feels a little bit like a freeway on-ramp into a community and a neighborhood. There are a lot of these kind of fixes you can make, even sort of quicker fixes like painting lines along the right side of the street.
And narrower lines.
To narrow it. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But until we can sort of redesign all the streets that we need to fix, the critical piece is to do enforcement of the laws of the road on the streets that are dangerous now. And that's why we're looking to the police to do a lot more enforcement of speeding and failing to stop at red lights, failing to yield to pedestrians. There was a really terrible crash in the Tenderloin in February where a man with a cane was crossing in a crosswalk middle of the afternoon and was crushed under a van. He was really terribly injured and taken to the hospital. And at first he wasn't cited. The driver wasn't cited for that. And there was a big outcry from our community, from Walk SF members and many others about the feeling that there's no penalty to endangering others on the streets. And so that driver has been cited, and the DA, we understand, is now looking at that case. But when, you know, over 800 people a year being hit by cars in the city, we feel there needs to be a lot more attention to making there be a penalty for endangering others on the streets.
Well, let me bring another caller on, and that's Shahana. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. My comment is I represent bicyclists, pedestrians, and motorists who are in collisions. And from my practice, what I see is these collisions happen because people just are not paying attention and don't have the proper respect for one another. And some of the things that are really working in the city now, to the credit of the Bike Coalition and Walk SF, are things like segregated green bike lanes where you're taking bikes and removing them from the interplay with cars and pedestrians, and that's working. And the idea that we're educating, you know, the Bike Coalition is doing a great job of educating bicycling public about sharing the road with cars. And some of the things that we can do to actually foster the more cooperation between all the people who use our roadways is more education and, like I think the officer said, enforcement, both for cars and for bikes. Yeah, education and enforcement are the only things that are going to get everyone on the same page. And things that also work are forums. Have a forum where bicyclists, motorists, and pedestrians can sit down and talk about the things that they can't stand about each other. What could we all do to make each other's lives better?
Well, we're having a forum about that today.
Yep.
I'm sure we'll hear a whole range of opinions along those lines. Shahana, I thank you for the call. I want to go back to Captain Casiato here. I mean, we can't really overemphasize enough the importance of just paying attention and courtesy, can we?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with the caller more. That's absolutely – that's what we need is paying attention, whether you're walking, bicycling, driving, any type of vehicle, any type of activity that you're out there doing, you have to pay attention in order to be safe and in order to avoid injury. I just want to comment that we take every injury to heart. We just absolutely take everything. And our goal is to have zero fatalities, to have zero injuries. I've been on the DUI mantra for a number of years. That's our goal. Our primary goal is we breathe a sigh of relief when we can come through one of the holiday periods with zero fatalities attributed to a DUI driver. And that we see that it's the same thing for any driver, anything. So I would like to comment that we talked about education and enforcement, but another big factor is the other E, is the engineering. And I got to give a lot of credit to the engineers who are working with us. They work with us on a daily basis. And when I say us, I'm talking about the whole community that's out there, the bicycling, the pedestrians, the automobile, everybody that's working together on that. And ironically, is I'm one of the oldest members of the police department, and when I started, the streets in the Tenderloin were all two-way. So we're going to come full circle, and if they become two-way before June 29th, then I've come full circle. But I can remember what they were like and the reasons why they changed them, why they went to one-way, and I can see the reasons why we need them to come back to two-way.
One of the oldest, but Captain Chignell, our friend Paul Chignell, has a little bit of...
Very few days.
We got another caller here. And Seth, join us. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for including me. I'm a traffic school facilitator in San Jose, and rarely do I get people in my class who have gotten tickets on bicycles. Bicycle enforcement is just way, way underdone. I ride a bicycle myself, I drive, but there are too many bozos on bikes. They ride down the wrong side of the road, they go through red lights, they have absolutely no respect for pedestrians or automobiles, and bicyclists under vehicle code have exactly the same responsibilities and rights as do motorists. On a bicycle, you have to stop for red light. You have to stop for a stop sign. I realize stopping for a stop sign might be kind of difficult, but I actually do that. I put my foot down, I stop, and just same thing I do in a car. I come to a stop sign, I stop, I count $300 plus traffic school before I go. Red light, $500 plus traffic school before I go. I do the same thing on a bicycle. I want to stay alive, and I certainly don't want to hurt anybody else.
Well, Seth, let me thank you for the call. And Seth's attitude, Bert Hill, is probably not all that unusual, feeling particularly that the police, and we'll hear from the captain on this, that the police are much more lenient when it comes to cyclists.
Well, I think a couple of comments. First of all, there is nothing in the vehicle code that says you need to put your foot down on the ground to stop. That's to do with measuring the size of a bicycle, not with stopping. Stopping is a cessation of movement. What I find when I'm riding myself, and this is, seems kind of counterintuitive, is when I come up to a stop sign and I'm going less than 1 mile an hour, very slow, I look at the intersection both ways. If there's a motorist at the other intersection, about 80% of the time, they wave me through. And I thank them. And that's a very nice thing to do because people who ride bicycles know that you're less stable when you're getting up on a bike and starting out. You're really kind of slowing everybody at the intersection. And so the act of actually coming to a complete and dead stop for the count of how much the fine will be probably doesn't improve safety, in my opinion. But what it does do is it enables the flow of traffic. Likewise, when I'm riding down the road and I want to change lanes and I look and I signal, I use a mirror on my helmet and I signal, motorists back off for me almost always to let me through. And my question is, do they do that with each other? And I think maybe if we're going to have a forum, we should have motorists with each other, probably more even than bicyclists. So I think as long as we understand and respect each other on the road, it isn't so much whether we follow every technical rule down to the nth degree. It's whether or not we regard other people, wait our turn, yield right of way.
Again, it comes down to courtesy.
Exactly.
And yet, Captain Casciato, again, you keep hearing this sort of notion that bicyclists get away with too much more than motorists do.
As Leah mentioned earlier, we've had quite a bit of citations, and we do issue a lot of citations to the bicyclists. But I'd like to comment on bicycle training, bicycle school, as the caller mentioned. Sausalito has bicycle diversion, which enables the bicyclist to go to traffic school. In San Francisco, there is no mechanism for the bicyclist or a pedestrian who's cited to go to traffic school. We went through this last year. There was a bicyclist who was cited on Market Street at 12th. He went to court. He wanted to protest the ticket. He believed that there was an engineering issue. And he wanted to go to traffic school. And there was no mechanism for that. So he went to the Office of Citizens Complaints, filed a complaint. And we went to, he requested mediation. He wanted the opportunity to talk to somebody. As the commanding officer, I went to the mediation we attended, and then I brought a member of the Bicycle Coalition with me to listen, and it was identified that it was an engineering issue that had occurred, and it was recognized. The officer who issued the initial citation recognized it when we had an opportunity to look at it. So what we've been working on all together is we're going to roll out within the next couple of weeks, and this is something that was already in the hopper for the last 6 months, is a bicycle training course and also a pedestrian training course for those who are cited for pedestrian violations and also for bicycle violations. And so there'll be an opportunity to process in that manner.
Okay. Let me get another caller in here. And that's you, Scott. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for taking the call, Michael. So I see this entire discussion as sort of a, you know, the metaphor of an onion. There's multiple layers of problems going on with this whole discussion. So one of them is there's a huge disparity of the demographic of people who ride bikes. There are the people who in the race community who you can spot them a mile away. They have the matching kit with the helmet, and they're on a, you know, basically a road racing bike. They look like they're supposed to be on the bike. They look comfortable, stable. They ride a straight line. Then there's the other crowd who, you know, they sometimes are – people who don't have helmets, they're riding the wrong way, they're riding in a mismatched street clothes without any sort of attention to traffic at any level. They have no clue. And so what that does is it creates this whole disparity where people who ride bikes get all grouped together, unfortunately, to be like the guy on the wrong side of the road wearing street clothes on a bike that doesn't fit him, not paying any attention to traffic, regardless of how the person is actually riding their bike. And what people in cars don't seem to understand is when you're on your bicycle, if a bicyclist makes a mistake, the bicyclist goes to the hospital. If you're on a bicycle and the motorist makes a mistake, the person on the bicycle goes to the hospital. So that puts the onus on the bicyclist to take their own safety into their own hands when they come to an intersection, when they come to an on-ramp, when they come to a blind corner. Every cyclist now gets left on their own to fight for themselves, and too often the police don't have any intention of actually finding out whether it was the cyclist or the vehicle who was at fault. They tend to vote for the cyclist. 90% of my friends who have had bicycle-auto collisions, the police find in favor of the vehicle regardless of the actual facts.
Scott, let me thank you for that call, because I want to go to another caller right away who sees things somewhat from a different perspective. Justin, that's you. Hi.
Just took my call. Yeah, you know, it was interesting hearing his comments, but I've been riding for 6 or 7 years. I've done my share of centuries. I've been riding with groups from East Bay to Central Valley. And I've found that it's actually the guys that I ride with, these racers that kind of, they take it for granted. They're the ones that need the bike education and the reminding, more so than the casual rider. Yeah, we get the few people on the wrong side of the lane, but generally, it's my group that I feel really is causing a lot of the issues. And so I don't know about the bike messenger problems of, yeah, you may have in the city, because I ride out here in the East Bay, yeah, I think it's kind of interesting that the education comes up as a big topic, but it's the people that need it the most that don't think that they do, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad you called too, Justin, because we're getting, as I said, what we might have expected in the way of different perspectives here. I have a question, though, for Leah Shaham. What about the dramatic increase in the popularity of fixed-gear bikes that have no brakes?
You know, I'll be honest, that's not something I know a lot about. I mean, I'm definitely seeing more of them out there. You know, it's not something we've focused a lot of attention on. You know, I think when you look at that community, you look at the folks that both the last two callers, Scott and Justin, referred to, it's a really important reminder that people who bike are not a monolithic group. Of course, people who drive are not a monolithic group. People who walk, and it's funny, we even use this term bicyclist or driver or pedestrian. It's really over stereotyping in a way, right? I sometimes walk. I sometimes take transit. Of course, I bike. I sometimes drive. I bet all of us in this room take different modes of transportation. It doesn't define us. It shouldn't define us. I think it's really important to think about the diversity of people out there. And I think we really need to make sure that we're remembering people who bike are mothers, are doctors, are teachers, are your next door neighbor. They're from every walk of life, every economic background. It's not a class
and
of people.
People who drive cars, motorists are all of that too. But cars are lethal. I mean, that's often the difference and the distinction, although we've seen these two fatalities with bicycles. Can I get you on record here, Captain Casciato, about no brakes? And I mean, first of all, are they legal?
They're not legal. And when there is an enforcement going on regarding those, we are paying attention to them. They are very, very, very dangerous. We did have an accident last year where a bicyclist was killed as he came down Washington Street. He struck a pedestrian who was in the crosswalk at Kearney Street. Fortunately, the pedestrian did not suffer major injuries, but the bicyclist was killed. He did not have brakes. And these bikes without the brakes, they're a great safety hazard.
I want to read some of the emails that are coming in here. Stephanie writes, with the red light cameras at the most dangerous intersections, perhaps at least bicyclists could be cited or exonerated if they were required to have license plates and to register their bikes. Licensing bicyclists following a passing grade on a written test would also send the message that we take this seriously. The registration fees could be used to offset the cost of the program and would add to Mayor Lee's jobs target. And you have to have a license to own a dog in the city, drive a car, practice law. As more and more people ride bikes, the congestion problems are obvious. Bert Hill, you're looking a little skeptical there.
Yeah, two comments. First of all, in San Francisco, on the intersections that have red light cameras, those are usually major arterials, which bicyclists rarely use. So it wouldn't do much good there. They tend to – and bicyclists, when they do run red lights, obvious red lights, they're usually pretty cognizant of the fact that they're putting themselves in danger. They're looking clearly, so they tend to be intersections not quite as busy and volatile as those. Where bicycles get in trouble with red lights, frankly, is clicking across them just as they turn green, and there's somebody going the other way, and the light turns yellow and red, you know, and they get hit in that case because they think they've got the validation of the light helping them out. We've looked extensively at both registration of bicycles and registration of bicyclists. 3 years ago, the MTA did a complete study. My committee, the BAC, did a separate study. And without going into a lot of detail, it just doesn't pencil out. Long Beach and Santa Cruz has experimented with registration. And in one city, they've completely officially dropped it, and the other one is just not being enforced.
This is a Facebook comment from a listener. It says, bikers should also be safe. They take far too many chances and create unnecessary problems for drivers. It works both ways. Emma writes, should this even be news elevated to talk show status? I'm a cyclist taking my children to school every day. We encounter almost daily drivers who harass us, drive incorrectly around us, and generally endanger us. I follow the rules of the road, as I am supposed to do, like other drivers, but there will always be cyclists who ride like idiots, just as there are millions of drivers who drive like idiots, causing millions more fatalities. How about having a program on the abysmal education of motor drivers? Mark says, your guest haranguing bike riders is incorrect. I'm a conscientious bike rider, and I've been hit and hurt by pedestrians 3 times. Each time pedestrians have come out between cars to jaywalk across the street, the pedestrians and I were hurt in each case. As a bike rider, car drivers talking on cell phones almost kill me every day. This is a much more complicated problem than blaming bike riders. I don't think we're blaming bike riders here. I think we see the complexity of the problem, everybody who's involved in this conversation. Here's Christine, who says, I live in Oakland, where bikers very often ride on the sidewalk. No, it is not legal. Children, senior citizens, dogs, and just plain regular pedestrians are in jeopardy. There seems to be a real feeling of entitlement among a certain section of the bike riding public. And David says, I live in the Sunset, ride my bike when I can, and drive my kids to school by car. In the Sunset District, cars run stop signs all the time. If anyone thinks bikes running stop signs are more dangerous than all the cars running stop signs, come on out to the Sunset. And aside from 19th Avenue, I've never seen a car pulled over for running a stop sign. Cars, even more than bikes, need to improve their attention to the rules. Josh says, I've lived in Los Angeles and San Francisco for the last 10 years and have ridden, I think it means, my bicycle every day to work just about the entire time. Road conditions in both cities are horrible, especially L.A. Not enough bike lines and barely any room for the buses, cars, and cyclists. However, I do agree that a large percentage of cyclists don't know how to ride properly. I'm constantly annoyed by cyclists riding the wrong way, riding on the sidewalk, blowing through stoplights. It makes me look bad, but the real problem is unbelievably poor city planning. And Cindy says the bicyclist who killed the pedestrian should be charged. If he was going too fast to stop for the light, that is his fault. He should have crashed his bike rather than plow through the crowd. Better he loses his life than an innocent person. I think bicycling is a good thing, but too many cyclists are flouting the law and endangering the public. See how this Elizabeth Stamp, I mean, this is what you hear all the time, isn't it? It's a motorist, it's a bicyclist. It's a bicyclist, it's a motorist.
Well, I think Leah made a good point that we all sometimes, well, everyone is a pedestrian. Lots of people bike, lots of people drive, lots of people take muni. So the key really, I mean, we live in a city, and a city in some ways is all about sharing things, right? It's all about sharing space. And so watching out for each other on the road is important. And also acknowledging, as many of your emailers and Facebookers have said, that there are different levels of responsibility, right? If you're piloting something that is essentially a thousand, you know, multi-thousand pound weapon, you have a lot of responsibility. You can do a lot of damage with that. And that is why it's really important to focus on cars, which are hitting, again, over 800 people a year here. In San Francisco, over half of the traffic fatalities are pedestrians. The national average is 12%.
So a lot of angry drivers. You know, we haven't even talked about road rage, but it has to figure in the equation here. I mean, people who take out a lot of their anger behind the wheel and behind the bicycles, too. And by the way, since this is always a program that's mindful of Transbay, not just trying to concentrate on San Francisco, I'm looking at an email here from a listener named Mike who says, I know we're talking about San Francisco, but the situation in Berkeley is pretty bad as well. There are plenty of bikers who obey traffic signals, stop signs, etc., but a significant fraction run stop signs and red lights, bike onto and off of sidewalks, bike the wrong direction on one-way streets, and other ridiculous activities. If a car did any of these things, they would be arrested. Bikers as a group are a lot less consistent and predictable than drivers are, thus more dangerous. Police everywhere need to rein this in and start writing tickets. Another part of the, here's the South Bay. Clarice says, we live in Palo Alto, where I've been told by bicyclists that the police tell them to ride on the sidewalk. While there are some that follow the rules, generally Palo Alto is a free-for-all when it comes to bikes. I've nearly hit several children riding the wrong direction on the sidewalk. They either fly off the sidewalk onto a crosswalk where they're supposed to get off and walk their bikes, or they fly by a driveway where slow-walking pedestrians are all the cars expected to find on a sidewalk. Right around Stanford, you'll find lots of bikes, rarely helmets, and they fly all over without regard to rules. Let me get another caller on here. Nomi, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I'm just chiming in with what some others have said. It's fine for the police to write citations, but what are they writing a citation to? When I drive my car, if I run a red light, if I pull around somebody and pass them on the right, blocking their vision, perhaps forcing them into an accident, I've got a plate on my car. I've got a license in my wallet. I can be stopped. I can be cited. There are so many unreported cycling accidents. There are hit and runs constantly. This idea that there are only three cycling accidents in San Francisco last year, or fatal ones, I think is a false statistic. There is no way to stop a cyclist from simply pedaling off after they leave a pedestrian in the dirt, having gone through a red light or done something else that violates the rules of the road. I understand that it's a difficult thing to enforce, but if cyclists had to be licensed and were vests with those license numbers on them, I think we would have far fewer fatalities and accidents, and I think we'd have a more pleasant relationship between cyclists, drivers, and pedestrians, as well as a safer one.
All right, we'll let that stand as an opinion. Although, Kevin Casciato, I'd be interested in hearing what your response is to this idea that, again, cyclists are more difficult to cite, and, again, there are far fewer citations for infractions.
Well, I agree that more difficult to cite, as are pedestrians more difficult to cite. But I think that we have our targeted enforcement. We're focusing on these violations that cause injury. And that's why we're focusing on diverting and having these schools for both the pedestrians and the bicyclists, so that we can change and focus on changing the culture. And it's going to be a slow process. It's a process that has to continue. It has to continue every year, even when we end up with what we feel is success. We must continue, because every year we have a new freshman group of drivers coming out, people who are participating in the transit world, And that's what we're going to have to keep doing. Is this is going to be something that cannot be solved in an instant. It's something that's continuous and has to continue forever.
I have to keep up with the increase, too. Yeah. Bert Hill, we might as well get some information from you on free classes that are out there and available for bike riders.
Yeah, the classes that we offer are free to the public. You can reach them at sfbike.org/edu. And we want as many people as possible. And this is not only for cyclists. We'd like motorists to attend the class if they want to find out about bicycle laws and getting along on the street, as well as pedestrians. It's an education that benefits. There's a lot of non-intuitive things. I just want to make one real quick comment relative to what Al said. A lot of people want licenses for bicycles, but they want it as a parity figure. Bicycles can be cited just as easily as motorists. They pull them over. You have to show ID. And if you don't have ID, the officer has the choice of arresting you. So it isn't like bicycles get off free. I'm not sure. And we have thousands of people visiting, using bikes, traveling from other places. Locally, it would be very difficult. But I don't think we suffer from enforcement because they don't have licenses.
Well, we've certainly hit on a great deal of citizen concern and problems. I could go on reading the emails from you and the web's comments and Facebook comments for another hour here, but I think we certainly have the picture and we've come to the end of this hour. I want to extend thanks to all of those who participate in this hour. We spoke with Herbert Weiner earlier, a San Franciscan who has gone before the SFMTA board about his concerns about biking. Elizabeth Stamp spent the hour with us, Executive Director of Walk San Francisco. Bert Hill, Chair of the Bicycle Advisory Committee, Leah Shaham, Executive Director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition, and Captain Al Casiato, who is Captain in San Francisco Police Department, Traffic and Municipal Transit Authority Administration. Thanks to all our guests. Thanks to you, our listeners, and wouldn't be here without you, and we appreciate your listenership. And we're here with you every Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. I want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Tina Lauerberg and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Howard Gelman, and Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. For all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, who believe all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.